Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein, and this week we have a fascinating topic, Geirus. And there's been a lot of controversy, both in America and in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to do this over a two-week period, and we're going to have a selection of different Rabbanim, both from America and from Eretz Yisrael. Two Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael, two Rabbanim from America. This week we have Rabbi Rachmiel Fried. He's the head of the Beis Din of Geirus in Dallas. Worldwide expert in Geirus, and we will also be speaking to, from Muncie, New York, Rabbi Yosef Viner. We will also, next week, we will be having Eisenstein on, and we will additionally have another very well-known Rav from Eretz Yisrael. So you can listen to us, Matzah Shabbos, 11 to 12 midnight on WMCA, 570 AM, and always on the Nachum Segal Network. You can also listen to us Monday morning at 11 AM on NachumSegal.com. You can find all our shows at www.headlinesbook.com under the audio or podcast section, almost 2 years of shows. We now have a new hotline, well, it's not so new anymore, at 732-806-8700. As always, you can email any questions or comments to info@headlinesbook.com. Before we start, I would like to say a small varth like I usually do. You know, this week it's the Parsha of Vidui Meiser. And we make vidui on our maestris, and the Rishonim already ask, where is the vidui here? You don't say anything about any averas or chatoim or anything that you did wrong. On the contrary, what do we say? We say biyarti akodesh min abayis, nasativ lalevi lager liyasim b'lalmana, kichol mitzvas chasher tzivi san, listen to your commandments, loy avarti mi mitzvay secha v'loy shachachti. Asisi, imagine this, Asisi kechel asher tivisani. This doesn't sound like vidai. If you look in the Mefarshim, they say different reasons, etc. But Reb Yashe Ber had a very beautiful pshat. He said, the beginning of vidai, the beginning of all tshuva, is the recognition of how great we intrinsically are. If I know it to be great, then I know I can make a mistake too. But if on the other hand, I'm a victim, I feel horrible about myself, it's hard to do tshuva, because what do I feel sorry about when anyway all I am is just awful? So the beginning of any process of tshuva is a person's recognition that intrinsically, on a DNA level, the etzem, he's really could say to Kaviyach, we could say to God, Asisi kechel asher v'tzivisani, look how great I am intrinsically, essentially. Do you know that when we klap al chait, you clap your chest, and the Mefarshim say, you're supposed to say, Ata garamtali. Ata, you. There is something, each of us has a little devil inside of us. But essentially, we are all special and great. We can say, Asisi kechel asher tivisani, on a DNA, on a molecular level, you and I are both special. You know, the Mishnah says, in Avos, it says, Adam nivra yechidi. Every one of us was created as an individual. L'lamedcha, to teach us, shekol ha'ma'abed nefesh achas mi'Yisrael, were we to cause the demise or destruction of a nefesh achas, it's kilu ibeid oylam malei, it's as if you destroyed an entire world, a world full. V'chol ha'mekayim nefesh achas, kilu kiyim oylam malei. So it's interesting, how does it say malei? It could say kilu kiyim oylam, what's malei? It says twice malei in reference to Kaviyachol. It says malei kala aretz kevaydei. That's in Yeshaya. And in Bamidbar Yudalot it says chai ani vi malei kvayd Hashem es kala aretz. So the word malei, full, refers to kala aretz, malei kala aretz. So when it says if you mekayim nefesh achas miYisrael ki lukiyim ayla malei, because each one of us can create enough kedusha, enough special, something, enough spirituality, to be mekayim and olam ali, really to fill the world, we can each create an amazing perfume. And I got a letter from a fellow Ezra Cohn. I get many letters, I don't know who they are, these gentlemen. And he says, you know, I want to relate an inspiring story. It was a winter night, I was driving on the 440 in Perth Amboy, that's a city in New Jersey. And he says, I saw a car broken down on the side, and it was a cold drizzle was falling. He said, I really, it was horrible time to break down. I decided to pull over. He said, and I went over, and there was a fellow there with his son, a blonde, blue-eyed fellow wearing a black T-shirt and jeans, and he had broken down, and he said he did not have that instrument that takes off the screws to change his tire. So he said, I went to my trunk, and in the rain, I took out the equipment that you used to change a flat, and I helped him. It took us around 35 minutes. And when we were done, the man looked at me, and he said, you know, my whole family are skinheads. Skinheads mean, you know, basically, I wouldn't say sort of like really ultra-right wing. In Europe, there would be neo-Nazis, certainly not friendly people. And he looks at Ezra Cohen and he says, you know, you've changed my mind forever, and I'm going to tell the rest of my family about this wonderful act that you did tonight. You really made my life much easier. He says, I was sitting here, I was scared, I'm with my child. He said, I didn't know what we would do. He said, you helped me. Thank you so much. So every one of us can do something that is Malei Kala Aretz Kavodei, and the Hagdama Teshuva is to know that essentially you and I are special, have a meaning, and have endless talent. We have the ability to say, Asisi Kechel Asher Tzivisani. Let's go to the radio. We have a fabulous program. Let's go to our guest. We have on the phone with us from Dallas, Texas, the Rosh Kollel of Dallas. He is also the Av Bezdin of the Gier Bezdin in Dallas, maybe in all Texas. He'll tell us in a minute. He's also the Mechaber of many Sfarim, including Yom Tov Sheni Kilchasa, a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Olba, and Rav Moshe Shapiro. Welcome, Rabbi Rachmiel Fried.
Shalom Aleichem.
So I'm curious, is your Bezdin, are there other Gier Bezdins in Texas besides yours?
Yeah, Houston and San Antonio take care of their own Gieris. So I mean, we primarily just deal with people that are here locally. We don't look at ourselves like a regional Bezdin. We just deal with people that come our way that are going to be living under our wing here in Dallas.
So what are some of the challenges you have as Av Bezdin? Like, what shilas come your way?
Probably the first challenge is the pressure people try to put on and people that want to get in that really don't really belong in. But, you know, after a while you learn how to weather that, and we only want to accept people that are really going to be sincere. Often people come in, I often get a call, I can already, you know, when I get a phone call and the voice on the other side is, hello, can I please speak to Rabbi Fried? I already know the continuation of that call is going to be, I am Israeli and my wife is American, and we are expecting a child soon and I need you to fix this problem. So, you know, I already know how that's going to play out if that same call has come 100 times. So I usually tell them that I'm willing to meet with you, but you should know this is not going to be a problem to fix. This is going to be, we're talking about a life change, and we're talking about a complete makeover of everything you're doing in your entire life. And sometimes that scares them away. They don't walk in. Sometimes they come in anyway. And after the original meeting, some of them are never going to come back because they're totally uninterested in making any changes. But there have been, as a matter of fact, this week, last night, I was Masada Kedushin by such a family that the Israeli husband became a complete Baal Tshuva, and the wife is a big tzedekis. They got married yesterday. We did the gear 2 days ago. Two gearim 2 days ago of two Israelis that actually became complete Baal Tshuva. So I never underestimate the potential of change, and I feel like we're dealing with a generation that, if you're taking New York and possibly Chicago and a few other areas out of the equation, we're dealing with a generation that has probably somewhere between 80 and 90% intermarriage going on, including Israelis when you get outside of the New York area. And we have to really not shrug people off because they're intermarried. We have to look at them to see if there's really potential in working with them, especially when the wife is Jewish. So we're going to be dealing with a family of Jewish kids, so it's certainly in our interest to try to bring them, if possible, and under the proper, with the proper steps, et cetera, but to bring them into real Yiddishkeit.
So give us another challenge. So you say the first challenge is separating those which are L'shem Isha, so L'shem Davaracha, I think it's the Mechaber in Reish Samach Zayin or Reish Samach Ches, and the Rambam in like Perek Yud Gimel of Yisori Biyah that discusses a geiris that is done for alternative purposes. What other challenges you have besides weeding those out?
Well, the second challenge becomes, once they are in the program, is the pressure to that they're ready and they want to finish it. So, I don't think we've ever had almost any geir go through the process that didn't get very, very impatient and felt that they were ready before we felt they were ready. And there are times that there could also be family pressure from different families, and that whenever we have speeded things up for that reason, we always were sorry about that. We, you know, learned our lesson early along, and sometimes there are mitigating reasons that we feel that people are ready, they truly are ready sooner than the usual would be, and there are factors going in, such as the woman's getting older and the chances of having children. You know, the clock is ticking by the minute by them, so sometimes we try to be more mikkel than machmir as long as they fulfill all the requirements they need to. But that's always a challenge, and I always warn them ahead of time that, you know, if anybody is accepted in the program, that you should know that the most important thing you need through this, besides tenacity and dedication and everything, but you need patience. And inevitably, they get impatient. And for us, even though they might be totally shamanitzes by at a certain point in time, even quite pretty rapidly or quickly along the program, and they might have even covered all the requirements of what they have to learn. But we need to see that there's staying power. We need to see that this is really here to last, and they're not going through a campaign promise, or it's not going through a fleeting moment of dedication. We need to see when the going gets rough, they're still going to stick with it. So it's always a challenge dealing with that. And nobody has come up with a good solution of how to make people feel comfortable with that. That's just part of the
difficulty. How long is the process?
Well, we don't have a process per se. It's very. There are places that have what they call conversion factories. They have a process that takes X amount of time, and you know, we're very, very strongly dead against that, because it's not one size fits all, and people are different, and you know, Kashim Shapartzafam Shanos, also their geiris is different. And so there's no way to make a set amount of time. We tell people it's going to take an average of about 2 years. There are those that have finished more quickly. They're very avid readers, and they're very dedicated, and they're very, a lot of it depends also what they did before they walked in, before they got to us, because there are people that have walked in and have read half of the Art Scroll Library before they even came to us. And already have been keeping a lot of misses before they came to us, from whatever they learned online or they picked up by books, whatever. So they're already very far along in the process. We have a lot of there's quite a few Gerim that have come through, mostly older, from East Texas. That they started off as very, very religious people to begin with, and very God-fearing people that just have the wrong God. But the concept of believing in God and dressing tznius and being, you know, Bible toting people, they were doing that for many, many, many years before they came to us. So they're very much soldiers. You know, they're very much once they see the emes, then they're very easily prescribed to doing the right things and very religiously. But even so, you know, I think those people often are sometimes the most frustrated, because they're really ready for it early along. But we have to make sure that you know, that we've weeded out those that they're going to find challenges and fall out. So the average process we tell them is going to be on 2 years. There have been times that it's taken, you know, longer, and times that it's taken shorter, but that's sort of the rule of thumb. Very often it's been like a year and a half when they were very dedicated before, and especially when they're not on their own, when they're with a spouse, whatever, that they're doing it together. So we see the stability of a family that's really doing it all together. Then that also gives it another element of it to be a Devar Kayam, having the stability that it needs.
Can I ask you a question, Rabbi Fried? When the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam talk about how you makabel a ger tzedek, so the lashon is, you know, you tell them about Avodah Zarah, Yichud Hashem, And then the Lashon is Maidi, and I say Miktas Miktas Kales Miktas Bisses Chamures Ve'ein Marichin B'davar Zeh. You do not go into a lengthy explanation Mitzvahs Kales and Mitzvahs Chamures, right? Maidi, and I say Einshin Shal Mitzvahs. So it seems that, you know, Ein Mar Bin Alav. It says you don't exceed Ve'ein Medagdik In Alav. Shema yigraim latirdoyu latayse miderach tayva ladasara, because maybe with extensive, you know, teaching and learning and preaching, it may turn him. So how did it become from ein marichin to a 2-year process?
A very good question. I once asked this question to a good friend of mine, Rabbi Ram Union, who's the Abbeis Din of the Los Angeles Abbeis Din, who they administer a test that has, I think, somewhere between 400 and 600 questions, if I'm not mistaken, at the end, which I don't know how many Yeshiva Bacham out there could pass that test. And I was at a convention once, and I was yelling at him saying that the Gemara says, Mixus Kalas Lechamuras, and not a 400 or 600 question test.
And it says, and more than that, it says, Ein Medagdik In Alav,
right.
Ein Marbin Alav, not to, is Lashon Rambam.
So he explained something to me which I thought was made a lot of sense, and I received a haskama from what he said from Reb Nissim Karelitz, Zlugelzen Zayn, in B'nai Brak. We agreed to that. He said this actually on his own without me prompting him, that what Chazal and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about, they're talking about a very, very different generation than we are living in today. They're talking about a time where the Gas, the Yiddish Shtut, was entirely a frum thing. There was no such thing as being Jewish and not being frum. And In whatever kehila you were in, being Jewish meant you're being shomer mitzvahs. There was no such thing as, you know, you read about there was a mechal shabbos or whatever. But the, you know, the to be Jewish meant to be frum and to be shomer mitzvahs, and there was no such thing as anything but that in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, in the time of the Gemara, time of Chazal. So if somebody is going to come into Klal Yisrael, then they're perforce they're going to be around people, they're going to be around a whole community that Shomer Mitzvahs, and they're going to continue to learn and pick up, and they're going to, as they go along, and they're going to have who to talk to and who to ask and who to advise them, you know, throughout their Jewish growth. So if they come and they show that they're really sincere, then we're going to take them in. We don't want to push them away if they really are sincere. That's part of the, some folks can say it's implicit in the mitzvah of Ahatim as a ger, also to be Kabbal someone as a ger when they show that they're sincere. It begins already at the time of being Mekabel then. So we don't want to do, it would not be synonymous with the mitzvah of Hatamah Seger to push him away the time that he really is sincere when we have no reason not to, when he truly is sincere. However, today, unfortunately, as we know, the vast majority of the Jewish people are not from at all, and it's very easy to become Jewish and say you're Jewish and not be Shomer Mitzvahs and end up in places where, you know, jobs or whatever, end up in places where Jewish community is totally, you're totally on your own. So in our generation, we have to ensure that every potential ger, before we accept him in, he's independently totally shomer mitzvahs on his own without having to rely almost on anybody else around him. Of course, one of the questions we ask in the mikveh is that do you realize that as much as you learned until now, which is wonderful, but there's so much more to learn and so much more to know, and it's a lifetime of learning, and part of your accepting to be a ger is to accept on yourself to continue learning as you learn to keep it and to be under rabbinical supervision of how to keep it properly. That's part of being mekabel as a ger. But by the same token, we have to make sure that before they enter that mikveh, they already are, they already know Hilchos Shia v'Chazara, and they know Hilchos Borer, and they know Hilchos Brachas, and they know v'chule v'chule, because they have to independently, because of the nature of the Jewish people today, and it's completely different than it ever was then in the time of Chazal, that the requirements for a responsible basin to accept somebody have totally changed.
So when the Rambam says that Ein Medagdik In Alav, Shema Yigraim L'Tardu L'Taise Miderach Taiva L'Derach Ra, Rambam says we don't. We're saying that this generation has changed. But Rabbi Fried, don't you see that there's a danger when we say the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam have changed and this generation is different? Like, how many other things is this generation different when that we can start finding coolers in the Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam?
Well, we're not talking about a cool over here at all. We're talking about this is what the postgame says. Reb Nissen also said we're not saying a cool in the Rambam. On the contrary, we're saying that what they required today would be insufficient to really know that they continue as a Jew. We need to be as a Beis Din. So we're being entrusted as the gatekeepers of who's going to be entered into Klal Yisrael. We have to make sure that there's staying power in that. We have to make sure all these questions they're asking them at the time, it was enough to ask Mrs. Chalas Omeros. We're saying that because then at that time that gave, because of the unequivocal support they're going to get from everybody around them, so we knew that there was staying power in that. So we're not saying a kula in Shulchan Aruch. We're not saying Shulchan Aruch changed. We're saying that the matzav has changed, that it also says that you have to be, it says bodkim acharav, that you have to check, not by talking to him, you have to check around him. You have to say that it means that you have to check the circumstances, the whole circumstantial situation around this person coming to you and knowing that there's stability and knowing, et cetera. So, we as the Beis Din, to allow somebody to enter Klal Yisrael, take that responsibility. So we're extrapolating the lessons of Shulchan Aruch, the lessons of the Rambam that were coming from Chazal, telling us that we have to make sure that this is something that's going to last.
I understand that, but the negative side is, Ram says, Ein Marbin, we're not excessively pushy with the Ein Medagdim, and you only tell a Miktsas Mitzvah, not 600 Mitzvahs. So we have, in effect, decided to be Machmir on the Rambam, but also be Mekil on Shema Yigram Latar De Lataisi Miderach Taivel Adarach Ra.
No, so in that way, we have to be. We have to make up with it by being, we're being nice to them. We're not trying to be.
But Rabbi Fried, but can I ask you a question? This. Mendelssohn and the Reformation is 200 years, at least 200 years old. Have any Paiskim, daily have Paiskim of the last 200 years actually written that the Shulchan Aruch, that these halachas should change?
Well,
it's 200 years before Ibn Nissen Karelitz. Somebody must have asked this question.
Well, nobody would have talked about 200 years ago or 100 years ago, because in most of these places, up until quite recently, up until like America today, whatever, then convert somebody is punishable by death, and the poskim even in Germany and the not so distant poskim talk about that would a geras even be chal in a medina that really you're it's punishable by death or by severe punishment to become a ger, is a geras even chal, or is a bezin doing something irresponsible as a bezin to put themselves in Sakana and the rest of the Jews in Sakana by accepting gear. And then you see this throughout the postgame, even not so long ago, that they talk about
you have the Dvar of Rum, has many tshuvas about Geirus. The Achiezer has many tshuvas about Geirus. It doesn't seem
that
uncommon.
That was my next point. The Achiezer,
and they don't say that the laws have changed. Maybe they do. Is there a tshuva I'm missing? Because I'm not an expert in this. Is there a tshuva that says that the Shulchan Aruch has actually changed before Ibn Nissen Karelitz?
Yeah, I would differ with your saying that the Shulchan Aruch has changed. We're talking about an haga that we're learning from the Shulchan Aruch. And the whole Dari Doros, you find, without the Shulchan Aruch ever changing, you find the Rabbanim of Ador see that there's a certain Indian that needs chizuk. And That doesn't mean to change the Shulchan Aruch. We say that in our door we need extra chizuk in this door, in something which there's this shraslis or there's a potential issue with. And if you look at the tshuvas of Achiezer, what they're dealing with in that generation is very different, completely different than in our door. There they're dealing with people that completely are coming in not to be mekabel mitzvahs, and to what extent we're going to say dvarim shebelev anim dvarim or not, that they're saying the ped, that they're going to be mekabel mitzvahs, but they're a generation that there's no kirov movement, there's no tshuva movement, there's no you didn't have this this outpouring of people that are coming on the shem shemayim, that they really want to be oved Hashem through becoming Jewish. It's all the tshuvas of Achiezer are dealing with people that the shem nisuin wanted to. It's usually the husband that wants the non-Jewish wife to because his parents are causing problems or et cetera. And so to what extent, despite that it seems like they're not coming to be Shomer Mitzvahs, can we accept them or not? That's really the real Hadvarim of all the postgame of that generation, because you didn't find Geras L'Shem Shemayim almost at all at that time. It's a very different generation in that sense also. And so, in time of Chazal, we find they were being Geras L'Shem Shemayim. That's the Gemara Yevamos in Chav Dalet, that the question whether if someone's Misgair L'Shem Davar Acher, you can't be Mekabel them, is it Chal or not Chal? That was maybe during the time of Chazal. And then you had the time in Europe where you had people starting, because of the emancipation, because of Napoleon and opening up the doors and suddenly reform and opened up and all these. So now you have all these intermarriages like we never had before at a rate we never had before. So then you had a question of Geras at that time where the question of giving 4 or 6 or 100 questions or whatever and giving them extra things, they were worried about, they're not going to keep Shabbos and what do we do? Again, in that sense as well, we're also dealing with a very different generation. So we have an outpouring of people that really want to be Megayer. Many of them, yes, L'Shem Shemayim. Many of them are not coming L'Shem Nisuim. A lot of times it's entire families that are doing this, husband and wife and kids. But we just want to make sure that they're staying power. We're not so worried about sending them away because they're coming really L'Shem Shemayim. But we at the same time, we want to ensure that they're really have that staying power to really know.
So do you think that a 600 question test is really possibly Yigrom Lutardo Latayse Midarach HaTayva? I mean, do you think that, like, it's arbitrarily chose 600 questions that it could cause people not to want to become a Ger?
I mean, we personally don't do that. I mean, it might be a little bit of an extreme. I mean, they feel that it doesn't. Those who do it feel that it doesn't. I think that, for us, we very much, just like the process is tailor-made, also the questions are tailor-made. We have to know mi v'miya holchim, and we don't administer any kind of written test at all. We just sit down with the person, and based on that, there are people that are, just like in life, there are people that are more intellectual, there are people that are more book smart, there are people that are more avid readers, and there are people that are more simple people that are, the blue collar workers and the so if someone in the process is someone who, as a living, they cut lawns or they, dig ditches or whatever, we don't expect them to acquire as much book knowledge as, someone who might be a lawyer or a professional. And
Rabbi, what do you do when people adopt children? Do you oversee the gayers of the adopted children as well?
Yes, you're talking about like a from family that.
And I'm curious. How do you? What's the procedure? Like, when do you do the gerus? Is it ger katmat bilnei sheldas bezdin? Do you do it when a child and a gdilu yichelam limchais? What is the procedure? Just most of us are not, don't deal with this. So we'd be curious to hear how you deal with it.
It really depends on the age of the child. I mean, for the most part, this happens when they adopt the child at birth. So Ramosha writes in the Shuvah to wait till they're a couple of years old, so we're not concerned about putting them in a mikveh. They're not going to, chas v'shalom, suffocate there or something, drown. So no matter what age, it's always a difficult thing for a little kid to go under the water. But up until bar mitzvah, so it's al das beis din, and if the kid's a little bit older, so that he's still a katan, so then we try to explain a little bit what's going on, but they're can't overly do it with them. And anyway, it doesn't really depend on their das. It depends on our das. We're zachan ladam shalavafonav. It's the das based in that we take them in. And at the time of we tell the parents at the time of the bar mitzvah, somebody should be there, bar or bas mitzvah. So at that time, that somebody should be there to ask them some questions or ask them, are you happy to be Jewish? Are you happy that you're shomer mitzvahs? Ramosha Feinstein, that's all held that you don't have to actually tell him that you can be mocha and if you want, you can walk away from this. He felt that that's not necessary. It might be telling him Machol Shoshonim, but that's what Ramosha felt, and many other people feel that way, that you don't have to act, that this chus worked, whether or not it was explicit, and it's not that they're being misguided at the time of the bar mitzvah. They're just making sure that they're not okay la mafreya. They're not retroactively uprooting what they did back then, but they're not actually being misguided at the time of the bar mitzvah. Otherwise, you'd need a basin and everything there, and that nobody
right.
does such a thing. So it's enough that we just say to them some form of, are you happy? Were you doing? You're happy that you're being Jewish. You know, if according to the Chassam Sofer, if the parent is misguided together with the kid, or it was al das the parent, so then there's not even a makom for macha. There's macha is only if beis din was misguided al das the beis din. It was al das the father, for example. Then there's not even an ability to be macha if they want. So we try to be machmer anyway, and even if it was with the parents, still to ask the question, kind of all she does.
What do you do, Rabbi? What do you do when you have an IV, in vitro fertilization, IVF, and the egg was taken from a non-Jewish woman and used for and fertilized by the husband and implanted into the mother? How does your Beis Din deal with that with this child?
The psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashav, Zechanu Levracha, was that this is it's a suffix that's an abayda lo shita in halacha. There's no hachra lakan or lakan if the child is Jewish or not. So whether it goes after the, you're talking about the question is not, well, the question the way you stated it is not really a question.
The egg is from a non-Jewish woman, implanted into a Jewish mother,
right? So in that case, that's called in Hebrew pundakait,
surrogate mother.
So that Dr. Abraham brings down from Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashav that they both said on that there arrives lakan and lakan a midrashim. Some want to bring a rive from a midrash that the dina was transferred from Rachel to Leah, and so was considered Dina was considered Leah's daughter and not Rachel's. That arrived from there that we go after the surrogate mother. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said you can't bring a raya from a medrash from a drush and from the halacha, and therefore it remains a suffix gomer, and so we do a geras misafik in that case.
What do you do with this child then?
When the child is of an age that's appropriate to take him to the mikveh, the age 2 or something like that, then year and a half, 2 years old, then we would take that child to the mikveh misafik with the beis din, have das beis din, like we would any other child, but without a bracha because it's a suffik.
And at bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, you would ask the same questions.
Yeah.
Are you aware of the controversy going on in Eretz Yisrael now about Geiris?
There have been a number of controversies of Geiris. They're sort of ongoing as far as the army and the army Geiris and which one are you referring to?
I mean, it's all one issue. It's about how much Kabbalah mitzvahs do you need. Isn't that really I only know of one controversy. I'm not so learned in this. I'm not an Beis Din of a Geiris Beis Din. I'm aware of the question of how strong of a Kabbalah mitzvah do you need?
There's been a very, very fierce controversy going on, basically among those that accept Das Torah and those that do not. That's really what it boils down to. You have an organization called Sohar, which have tried to maintain that all that the poskim said about Kabbalah mitzvahs was only as long as we were in Chutz Laaretz, we didn't have a land of Israel, we didn't have a Jewish people in one land, and now that you have accepted on yourself to be part of the Jewish people and keep holidays a little bit, keep a little bit of this and that, and you're going to join the army, you're going to be part of the Jewish people, then that became sufficient for Kabbalah mitzvahs. I'm actually in the process of finishing a sefer on Geiris and starting off the psicha, the sefer, about this controversy, where I show at great length that all the sources that they claim to quote on this issue are falsified and they're not true sources and they've misread these sources completely. And there are many, many, many riots from from the Rambam and from all the other Rishonim, as well as all the Achronim B'Pei Echad up until from the Rambam until today, that without a full Kabbalah's mitzvah, then Geras is not Chal at all. And so, and there's no question that these all these Geras that are they have no intention whatsoever to be Kabbalah mitzvahs are not Gerim at all. So it's a huge problem that.
Well, Rabbi Rachmiel, it's been a pleasure to have you, and it's nice to see that there's so much Torah being studied in Dallas, which to most New York, I am from the New York greater area, we look at Dallas as something like really very distant and removed. So it's nice to see that there are such big Talmidei Chachamim, Paiskim, and Rabbanim in Dallas, and there's so much Torah going on over there.
Well, Baruch Hashem, we have many hundreds of families that become Balei Tshuva, and a lot of the many of their kids have gone on to learn in the top yeshivas of the in seminaries of the world, and Baruch Hashem, it's becoming a Makom Torah here.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been an honor to have you on with us.
Thank you, Sivach Simitova.
Sivach Simitova, Kalta. We have on the phone with us from Wesley Hills, New York, Rabbi Yosef Weiner. He's a Paisek, Halacha columnist for Hamodia. He's Rav of Gehillas Shara Shemayim in Muncie, New York. Welcome, Rabbi Weiner.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
I understand that you are an expert on Geiras, so we'd like to ask you a few questions.
Expert might be too strong a word, but we'll try to answer the questions anyway.
Okay. Are you aware of the controversy in Eretz Yisrael between the new Bezdin that was set up with Rabbi Riskin, et cetera, for Geiras?
Yes.
And how would you describe, what is the issue that's being debated?
There are many, many layers of issues. Geiras is a very sensitive, complex, and often misunderstood topic. A lot of the contention, and if you'll call it downward pressure, is how lenient we're going to be on Kabbalah's mitzvahs, which is not a new issue, and there's always been pressure. And the first hashkafa you have to have is that we're looking for Geirei Tzedek, people who can handle it. We're not looking to put something on somebody that they can't handle, set them up for failure. And we're also not looking to downgrade standards where either we're going to have a sort of bidyeved situation where they're keeping many of the mitzvahs, but a watered-down version. And sometimes it affects the actual Kabbalah, where they think they're getting one thing, one brand of Judaism, and that's not really a full halachic Kabbalah. That's the worst-case scenario. And even if the Kabbalah is Chal B'Dievid, the question is that a L'chatchila Ger B'Dievid Ger, and is that what Klai Yisrael is benefiting from? Kasha Gem Kitzafachas runs in many different directions. The ones that excel, Taisus says in one shot, that might make others look bad, and we have to aspire to their enthusiasm, and the ones who don't do very well can drag down others and drag down the dikta permitzvahs of the community. So it's a very slippery slope.
So we had Rabbi Fried on, and Rabbi Fried was saying that there are batei dinim, he was saying one in Los Angeles, I think he said they give a test of 600 questions. I think that was his number, but I'm not, but it was something in that zip code. And you know, the Rambam says, Ein marbin, ein loy medagdikim. We don't make his life difficult, the Rambam says. Shemar yachser bay. We don't want him to go back to, you know, whatever pagan religion they come from. What's your feeling about batei dinim who give very extensive questions and make the lives of the ger, you know, rather complicated? It would be
ger. Very, very important. It's a good question, a very important historical contrast that you have to draw over here and the sense of history to understand what was going on until very recently. The assumption when everybody was from before Haskalah, a few hundred years back, most of the people were from, a ger who came to Magaya, first of all, was automatically extremely brave and was willing to embrace an nefesh because it was extremely dangerous. If the church caught you, as in Graf Potaski and other gerim, that you were sentenced to be killed. It was a dangerous and improbable situation. Those who chose to do it were taking the life in their hands, and they did it anyway. So automatically we're dealing with very intelligent, brave people who are doing it with full sincerity. They also had aspects of the Jewish communities that they already knew because everybody was from, so the Jews they saw were halachic Jews, And they picked it up by osmosis, almost like the maid in a Jewish home 500 years ago knew Bas V'Cholov, Nos Pleshik, Parv, Shabbos, Yontif, and Pesach. Those days in the last few hundred years, unfortunately, are long gone. And many Akum coming from the outside might think Judaism is only about Zionism, the State of Israel, UJA, gefilte fish, name your typical Jewish outward custom, and they don't realize that Judaism is a religion, and it's something that is involved, has many details, many mitzvahs, and many ikarim. And to prove this point, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as late as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, clears the shaila whether or not you could teach Torah to goyim, and he's not sure. There's an iser, maybe it's for geiris. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva. We said today, if you don't teach them the ins and outs of what they need to survive the first few months, not to learn everything, it's lifnei iver, lifnei mishkal. Take them in a mikveh, you bring them out. It's time to daven mincha. What's mincha? I have a glass of water. Make a shakal. What's a shakal? So what was going on at the time of Rabbi Akiva Eiger? What was going on at the time of the Rambam? The answer is they knew a lot of it because coming in, they already had been observing the Jewish community and all their customs and details. And today, that's simply not the case. And that is why there's a big difference today. The second part, important to keep in mind, I work with many Batei Dinim. I deal with the shadows all the time, and certain candidates call me, ask if I can push, I can move it along. Sometimes everybody's busy, sometimes they need to push. But by and large, they're trying to create a scenario where the Ger doesn't have an issue a month or a year down the line where they regret it or they can't handle it. We want to make sure for their own good and for the good of the community that everything is almost doable. It's not perfect, but we want to make sure that the majority of the cases do pass.
So how long is the procedure?
It can range, depends where the person is coming from. Often you have Geirus cases where the person grew up thinking they were Jewish, had exposure to certain amounts of Jewish identity, and even some halacha or maseira, find out they're not Jewish, the father's Jewish, the mother's not. Sometimes they have a situation where they're friends that are Jewish, some partially observant, they met them in college, and they have some exposure. And even have some background. Some of them might have been to Israel. They know a little Hebrew. It depends where they're starting from. They know a little bit of the language. And they're able to learn a little bit quicker. It depends on their academic background. Obviously, it depends on how quickly they pick up things. Also depends on a lot of family dynamics. Sometimes you have husbands and wives. One wants to, one doesn't. Obviously, that takes a lot longer. You want people to be on the same page. And that can range from the time they walk in, half a year to 2 years. It's a process because they're given a certain amount of homework, guidance, pointers, questions. They come back each time they meet with a sponsoring rabbi, with the Beis Din, and everybody's busy. People need to fit in their schedule, both the trainer and the trainee, and in a busy lifestyle, that takes time. That doesn't happen in a month.
So when the Rambam says, my din, I say, miktas mitzvahs kalas v'chamures, and ein marabin olav, ein medagdik in olav, we teach him a few mitzvahs, and the rest he's going to learn on the fly. Ein marabin olav. We don't make life complicated. Ein medagdik in olav. Shema yachsa l'surei. You're saying that's not relevant today. The halacha has
very
changed.
Because
the halacha and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this too have both changed.
Yeah. All that is pre-Haskalah. Again, Shlomo Zalman writes the Devar Pashut. If you don't teach him a lot, you're over with me. Even Rabbi Kibik is not sure he's got to teach him anything. I didn't put the two together. Shlomo Zalman is aware of Rabbi Kibik. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger wasn't Matar B'Shaisi. So what does our Shlomo Zalman do with that? The answer is, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is presupposing what the Metzius was, and that is anybody looking to come in was already somewhat familiar with what he's looking to get into. And today, what we're assuming today is that our Shlomo Zalman puts it, he says, forget the oneness, whether you can be teaching in theory, you can't be teaching, what do you do with an Eiver? You're putting somebody in a Matzav where they're not going to be able to function. Now, again, everybody admits, he can't learn everything because it's not a 10-year program. He's not going to know every mitzvah, and he's going to make mistakes. But you know what? People make mistakes. They're also making a Kabbalah. They know they might talk Lashon Hara 5 years from now. That doesn't break up a Kabbalah's mitzvah. Moshe says that a number of tshuvas. The question is, what type of Kabbalah and commitment are they really making? And where do they really want to go with this? And if you saw it's a particular problem, they brought in a lot of people from former USSR, hundreds of thousands. They wanted them in the army. The law of return. They want quote-unquote Jewish people in there, and I'm very familiar with what's going on and still going on in the Army and other state-sponsored Geirus programs, and it came out nothing. It's like you want to fight, if you're willing to fight as a Jew, It's like, unfortunately, like taking the Hitler Yimach Shemoy's definition of who is a Jew. Whoever's killed is a Jew is a Jew. We don't paskin like him, and we have other parameters. The fact that you're willing to admit the Nefesh Klai Yisrael is wonderful. That doesn't make you Jewish.
Now, do you have the same opinion when the people coming, like you said, are offered from a mixed family where the mother is Jewish or the father is not Jewish, or the other way around, where the father is Jewish and the mother is not Jewish, do you still put them through the same hurdles?
Happens to be that I have a Kabbalah from Rabbi Yoshev. It sounds like a Chiddush, but he's not the only one who held of it. That if a father is Jewish, since there is some Zera Yisrael here, even though he clearly, luckily, is not Jewish, we actually put up less hurdles. And those who quote Rabbi Yoshev, they say we actively encourage it, is not true. I spoke to Rabbi Yoshev on many occasions about Inyanei Geiris and Yuchsin. But he did say you don't have to discourage, and you can even try to help along, but it doesn't mean we take somebody who we don't think can handle it and be overly encouraging. If somebody wants to come, we'll handle it with a little bit more, I can't say, expedience, because we don't slow it down for anybody. But if his father's Jewish, the Zera Yisrael concept is playing in the back of the minds of the Tanaim who are following this track.
So are you worried about that when the Rambam says is that if we're marchik a ger who wants to, that's usser also. Are you worried about that isser, or where the Rambam
Lamashal is? Everybody's concerned about it, which is why we try not to take time. And if we feel somebody is ready, even if they don't know all the details, but we feel they're ready enough to go and they're earnest enough to ask the shaylas as they go along the way, we do not delay, and it's offered to delay. And if
okay.
We could do it a week earlier, we'd like to do it a week earlier.
I'm not talking about a week earlier. It could be a year earlier, too.
Hopefully the whole process won't be that long, that a year, often the process can take a year and a half. But we do try to do it as quickly as possible under the circumstances. No one's looking to delay, and certainly no one's looking to overly discourage. Remember, the Rambam's pointing out, it's not a question of learning only. It's a question of, do we actively discourage him? That, the Rambam says, we do it a couple of times. Why do you want to join Klai Yisrael? We could be oppressed. It could be anti-Semitism. We say it a couple of times. We don't keep repeating that. And that we still keep. We do not. We're only focused on the with Neiver aspect. We want them to know basically what they're doing, so they can go through a Shabbos and a day where they know what they're doing. We don't actively discourage over and over again.
Now, what about Ger Katan? It means a minor who Matbil and I sell Das Bezdin. When you have a minor, parents who come and they bring a minor, right? Do you make the same issues for a minor, or are you magayer with less of stringencies?
Well, as you know, if the parents are basically from, then we just take the baby to the mikvah very carefully, obviously. And as the Gemara says in Ksubis, they have a choice at 12 or 13 whether or not they want to stay in or not. Now, there is a large range of what exactly that choice means and how do we say it. It takes a lot of tact and has to be done very carefully due to the sensitivities. The 12-year-old, 13-year-old, not really set up to handle a questionnaire with two boxes. Do you want in? Do you want out? Check the right box. What I do personally is we have adopted children who come to me. They bring, let's say, a boy before the bar mitzvah. I'm going to give him a pre-bar mitzvah chizik shmuz anyway, even if he were a regular FFB. And I would like to have a kesher with the bacher, so I call him in anyway. If he happens to be a ger katan, I mentioned to him, by the way, before the bar mitzvah, most bacherim are realizing that they have the schus of being makabel mitzvahs now. You have an extra schus that you know that you came from the outside, and you came in, and you're doing so well, and your family is doing so well, and they raised you such a wonderful way. And I give him a enthusiastic talk, and I basically have him, Shamea Kaina, answer at the end of my drasha that he's happy with what he's doing, and you want to continue, and he's looking forward to a couple of mitzvahs. And if he smiles and he says yes, yes, then and he keeps the mitzvahs afterwards, we're fine. He can't change his mind at 14 or 15, even on a bad day. And if he says or looks not very enthusiastic, and there is a problem, I usually know about that going in, then there could be an issue of a machah. Baruch Hashem, most of the time, if the child was raised properly, he's happy with his Yiddishkeit, and we're good to go. I had a couple of cases where already by the age 11, 12, there were severe issues due to a very complicated family dynamics, and he actually was encouraged to be Melech, and his machal was that at that point he wasn't really keeping much anyway, and those who went to the Taina, we have to be Mekarevim, And the reaction of the Danim involved, myself included, was over here, it would be great, but it doesn't look like he's interested. There's no reason to force the issue because he has a choice. So at the end of the day, you have to remember he has a choice. Most of the time, it goes a lot smoother than that.
Now, what happens if a couple that is irreligious, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say, yes, irreligious, and let's say the mother is not Jewish, but the father is, and he wants to bring up the son. He wants the son to be religious. He would bring a child to Beis Din. How would you deal with it in that case?
The father is from and the mother is not yet?
The father is Jewish.
Right.
The mother is...
Is he from or is he's becoming more from? The reason I ask is because
you have a father, he wants to bring up his kid as Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that if the kid, you know, becomes Jewish, he'll allow him to go to yeshiva, etc. And the family is sort of borderline, which I imagine is very often the case. So since this child, the Kabbalah's mitzvah that's needed at that age is very minimal, and there could be a machab and he's Yud Gimel, how would you deal with such a child?
So let me give just a small overview. The Kabbalah's mitzvah at that point is actually nil. It's not just minimal. He's often an infant. If a child is already 10, 11, 12, maybe even 9, I try to encourage that they delay the entire process till he's much older, because a teenager shouldn't be accepting this. He should wait till he's 18, 19, 20. I had one particular case where they had to do it because he wasn't yet Jewish, and he had a brother who was. Very complicated scenario, but they needed him. He was part of the family already. They needed to do the Geirus. And the Mishnas of Aaron, says, based on Sam Sefer, that the Shear of God was by an Akum, is not 13 to 12, because that's Halacha Moshe Sinai. It's actually when he's a Bardas, which might be 9, 10, 11, 12, depending on the IQ of the child, in which case we might not be dealing with a Ger Kut, we might be dealing with a Ger Gubble already, depending if you go after, before his Geirus, after his Geirus. That's a very important question, because most people assume it's still a Ger Kut until 13. That's far from simple. That's an aside. Getting back to your question, if the father wants the Geirus, and he's not from, and the mother's obviously not Jewish yet, most places can say that you can't do the Geirus, because the Geirus is based, as the Gemara says explicitly, on the fact that it's a schus for the child. If only a schus, the child will grow up to keep mitzvahs. If he ends up doing all the averus and happens to bump into a couple of mitzvahs, it's not a schus. So Moshe has a tshuva where he says, interesting chiddush, that whatever mitzvahs he happens to do will get tzar for. Whatever averus he does, he's a tinnish and nishba, so it's not called revach. That's a minority opinion. I spoke to Reuven on a few occasions about what Rav Moshe meant by that, and Reuven said that Rav Moshe meant not that you could just take them straight away without any pledges. Rather, if the parents are not yet from, but they're interested in pursuing that path, and they are promising to send the child to yeshiva, then even if it doesn't happen, it's not his fault, and it's not our fault, and whatever he does, that's good, will be wonderful. But Rav Reuven said that halacha l'maisa, you have to have at least a solid pledge that they're moving the direction of becoming from, and they will be sending him or her to yeshiva, and then it will be a schus for him. And that's what we try to do halacha l'maisa. It gets sticky because there are many people who are not yet from and have no interest in becoming from. I've had that with couples who came to me and they just wanted to adopt a baby, and I said, are you interested in becoming Orthodox? They said, no. Do you have any plans to send him to yeshiva? No. They were honest. Every answer was no. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And they said, we want the kid to be Jewish. I said, why are you coming to an Orthodox rabbi? And they said, you know, we want the kid to have choices, and we want the Rolls Royce of Geirus. And they were right for thinking like that. But halachically, it's very difficult to do because it's not a schus.
Right.
And that's obviously, they weren't too happy with that. And it's hard to explain. And I try to be as nice and accommodating as possible, but the din is a din.
So, in general, when people come to be Megayer, what percentage actually see it through and what don't?
You know, we try to assess first the stability, emotional stability, and the level of intellectual capabilities of handling mitzvahs. They don't have to be geniuses. They just have to be focused and really willing to do it, and it can't be something that's just a phase. I've had many people come to me, and to their credit, I said, look, do you know anything about it now? They say, not much, but they're impressed by the Jewish friends they have. I said, here, take 4 or 5 books. There are many good books out there in English. Take this home. Come back in 2-3 weeks. Read them through. Let me know what you're interested. I can lose 30-40% just on that. Because they come back to me and say, Rabbi, fascinating reading. Not for me. great. That's fine. They're being honest, and he didn't take his time, didn't take my time, and that's wonderful. The ones that already see there's a halachic process, and there's Tayyak mitzvahs, and there's Yud Gimli Karim, and this is serious business, and it's a serious lifestyle, those who are willing to pursue it at that point, and we think the Beis Din assessing it, the rabbi assessing it, thinks that it's a stable situation, it's not just a fad, and a phase they're going through, so then we'll start the process. Those who already got to that point, significant amount do make it.
Do you think that there's a reason to be Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, where you have people that are intermingled in society, and if they become religious, right, like you call the Kabbalah's mitzvahs, is certainly on Ikrei Hadas, is very often there, but on the Dikduke Halacha, it's not. Do you think that it makes sense to be Mekel, given that they're going to be intermingled in society, and this way they're Jewish, as opposed to having Jews and Goyim intermarrying and mixed families, etc., and seeing that they do have a commitment to Eretz Yisrael and Kol Yisrael, the fact that they do come, and like you say, they did serve in the army, does that give a different light to how contentious the Geirus should be?
Right, so there are two important points to consider. Number one, you assumed in the question that even though there's not a whole lot of dikduk b'mitzvahs, but their ikra das are there. If you look at the Yud Gimel Karen, if any of them are missing, going to the Rambam, the person has a din of an apikaris already, a nebuch apikaris, as Abchaim would say, but an apikaris, meaning they don't have full kedushas Yisrael if they're missing any of them. And the cases I've seen, it wasn't just dikduk mitzvahs. It was really an issue of being makabel all the Yud Gimel Imamim, or even most of them. Not that most of them would work. So that's one issue which is really a problem, because even if you want to say they were makabel, but they're just getting used to Shabbos and they're chilling and they're trying to daven, I have an issue with some of the main Kabbalists, which I don't think are there. Even if they are, you mentioned, should we try to be as makel as we can for the sake of the totality of the yichus of Klai Yisrael? I would argue the opposite.
No, for the family. I'm saying you have families where the father is Jewish, the mother isn't Jewish, the kids now
right.
are not Jewish. So if they make a commitment, and this commitment is, let's say, it's a gray commitment, right? It's not a black and white commitment. Do we say, look, the person is already part of a Jewish family. Do we look at the, you know, you say that post-Mendelssohn, you say, the Rambam says, ein medagdikin ve'ein marba, and you're saying now, yes, we are medagdikin, we are marba. Do you look
well,
at it differently?
We don't give him enough time. We still don't, we don't try to dissuade him. Well, the medagdikin is how much we're teaching. That's what changes.
Yeah, well, the Rambam, but ein marba, yeah, but the Rambam says you teach him Ikrei Hadas, which is Yichud
right.
Hashem. You don't even teach
mm-hmm.
him Shabbos. Yichud
mm-hmm.
Hashem. And then you tell him about Truma Samaya. You teach him a Meiser Ani, etc. He
pay
mentioned
pay
three or four
minutes. Pay him like, right.
Yeah.
Right.
The idea being all the things that are, you know, that we show compassion for another person. So he mentions Yichud Hashem in four mitzvahs.
Right.
So you're saying, we're saying that according to to the contemporary Paiskim, that has changed, Bismanenu.
Two things have changed, again, to keep in mind, just to sum it up. One is that our Shlomo Zalman's way about with the Heber, that they're really not exposed, they really don't know what to do. And the second thing is, that I didn't mention this before, and this might even be more important, and that is that even if they don't get everything right away, if most of the community is from, they will have to conform, and they will learn it, and it will become something that they actually get the hang of. Today, that's absolutely, unfortunately, not necessary, because 80% of Klai Yisrael is not from, and they can settle wherever they want and call themselves Jewish. That was not true before Haskalah.
Rabbi Weiner, thank you very much, and Chazak ve'amatz in your avodas HaKadosh. It was an honor having you on with us.
Hatzlacha rabba, k'siva simetayva.
K'siva simetayva, k'altu.
Take care. Bye.